We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, big thanks once again to Chase Clement and Jarrett Dillard. Really, really cool guys. And they are inductees to the Gridiron Legends. And we've got more coming. 315 Richmond Webb. If you know anything about football, you've heard of Richmond Webb, and you know how great Richmond Webb was. He's coming up at 3:15. Clint, we're going to check in with Landry and Lopez. They're at Little Woodrow's in Bel Air. We're going to check in with them at the top of the hour, go back and forth with them a little bit about Texans and Jaguars, and they've got some giveaways out there at Little Woodrow's. Clint Campbell usually a little. Are you feeling some kind of way about that?
I'm all right, man. I'm not
selfish. Are we getting Wally pipped here?
I like to share my goods, so they're out there keeping the seat warm, enjoying the festivities at Little Woodrow's. That's fine. I'm at home right up here in NRG Stadium in the press box looking down on a beautiful, beautiful track, my man.
Could you call some plays from up here?
Come on.
Could you get your OC on up here?
Come on, baby. I'd rather be down there getting my quarterback on, though.
I hear you.
Play calling stuff. I'd rather be down there doing work.
Where would you rather call plays from, down on the field or up here in a press box?
I'd be up top. I don't understand how coaches I would either be up top calling plays, or I would be on the sideline with an extension of me in the press box that I absolutely trusted 100% based off of what they see. Because down there, I think in the moment it's so important to be able to go for somebody in the booth to go, hey, man, last time you went Cincy right, the safety to the boundary was – his eyes and his body was turned to the three receiver side. You can really hit this dude down. He's exposed over the top down that left sideline, down that weak sideline. And those are how in the moment you – so immediately I'd go right back. Cincy right, whatever, put Hopkins down that boundary sideline, and you got six because your guy in the booth, you trusted his eyes. So I would be in the booth unless I had a guy that I trusted with my life up in the booth, and then I'd be on the sideline with my QB checking his temperature, making sure he understands what in the hell's going on and what I need from him, baby.
I love it, man. Talking football with my man Clint Sterner. We're Clinton Campbell at NRG Stadium. Advocare kickoff. Texas kickoff goes on tonight. It's Cougars against Cougars, and it should be a hell of a college football game. Now, after giving up six sacks to the Saints, the Texans face another elite front seven from the Jaguars. Now, Clint, I just saw this, so I want to add this into the ointment as we get into this conversation. Guess who's not playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Who's that?
Yannick Ngakoue.
I told you yesterday he had a hamstring issue, so it doesn't surprise me he's out. There's only one problem. That absolute monster that they drafted in the first round from Kentucky.
Tell him.
What's his name? Jared Allen?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Jared Allen's the old white defensive
end. He used to do the lasso thing, right?
Hey, I'm going to tell you, Josh Allen is a grown man now, so it's music to my ears that one of the better rush ends in this league, outside linebacker, rush end, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's an absolute monster. He's an athlete that can get after the quarterback. It's when you hear that, what is today, Friday?
Yes.
When you hear that a couple of days before a game that a guy like that's out, it's good news. But then when you turn around and you go, yeah, but his backup, long term, probably going to be better.
He may be. And Ngakoue's trying to get paid. Remember, he had a brief holdout at the beginning of camp,
and then quickly
was like, all right, screw it, I'm going to go play. But he's a hell of a player, and he is out. So, again, sort of I don't even want to say what I was going to say.
Hey, Trick. Jinx.
No,
Jinx.
No, no, no. I didn't want to say what I was about to say.
Trick, we've been talking about this I've been talking about it since I put that schedule out that got ripped apart on social media, that little schedule preview. But look how this thing's working out, right? You catch New Orleans without two interior defensive linemen. You're catching Jacksonville without their starting quarterback and now without their best pass rusher, essentially. You're going to catch L.A. next week, right, without
Hunter Henry
and possibly without what's
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the way this thing
unfolds. And Melvin Gordon, by the way.
So I don't want to get you amped up.
And Derwin James, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't want to get you amped up on your schedule, your strength of schedule thing, because me and you are going to end up having a boxing match up here on that thing. But nonetheless, I mean, this is the kind of thing that when you have a good season. I don't want to jinx them, but when you have a good season, you look back and you go, hey, we had a little luck along
the
way.
Yes, no doubt. So
this is a game, again, that the Texans should win this game regardless of who's healthy and who's not healthy for Jacksonville. But this is a very important game. As I see it, both Jacksonville games are the swing games that take this team from 500 to a 10, 11, 12 win season. And it starts to Sunday versus Jacksonville.
Very well said. And right here at NRG Stadium where we're at, Clinton Camelon, Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So even without Yannick Ngakoue, this front seven can go. This entire defense can go. As Clint said, they've got layers. They've got next man up on this defense. But will Titus Howard's likely return, Clint? And I say likely because it's trending in the right direction. It's not firmed up officially just yet. But will the hopeful return of Titus Howard be exactly what the doctor ordered against this Jacksonville front seven?
Yeah, look. I think that it doesn't matter who you're playing, the sooner that you can get your starting five, whoever you feel like those guys are, which Titus Howard clearly is the starting left guard at this point in time. If for whatever reason Shontrell Henderson struggles throughout the year, I think you may see him bump to right tackle at some point sooner rather than later. But right now, you got to believe Shontrell Henderson's part of that solid starting five that you want up front. And if Titus Howard is healthy and he's back, it's absolutely money. I mean, we talked about it yesterday with Wade Smith. As I watched Senio Kelemente, I admire and respect the hell out of guys that are in there just fighting their tail off to get their job done. But when there's, I was one of those guys. I had to fight my tail off to throw a speed cut out route, and some guys just do it very easily. It's effortless to some guys. It's called a talent level. Some guys their ceiling is just so much higher that things appear to be easier. They appear to be more effortless.
The great ones make it look easy.
Yeah. And look, there's some great ones out there that had to fight their ass off for their entire career, and they do a good job of it. But when you take a guy like Titus Howard and you start him at left guard, it's extremely quiet, relatively speaking. You got an offensive lineman in there that he quiets things down in front of the quarterback. It's not a bunch of getting turned sideways and screaming and fighting and clawing. It's more of a lockdown scenario some of the time when he's in there. When you're passing guys off and with different kind of rush game, defensive tackle, defensive end, rush games, when you're passing guys off, it's a simple pass off. There's a stone. You actually stone guys instead of just slow guys down. And so there's no doubt about it, man. The Titus Howard upgrade at left guard from Kelemete to Titus Howard is significant. Now, there may be some youth in there, obviously. There may be some experience issues. But for the most part, you're talking about a guy that is a big-time upgrade at left guard, and that should help this offensive line significantly.
Now, is it like too much to ask, or is it unrealistic to think that Titus Howard, assuming he's the left guard, so then you're going to have Tunsil, and you're going to have Titus Howard, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton, and Shontrell Henderson. This will be the first football game that five has ever played together. So is it unrealistic to think that they can get the job done and lower that sack total? And to me, getting the job done is lowering that sack total from 6 to 3. Like, just in terms of protecting Deshaun Watson. But is it unrealistic to think that this brand-new rebuilt offensive line can hold up against this front seven?
Man, for me, it's not unrealistic, no, not at all. I mean, but I think it's a group effort. It's not just those guys. We talked about it, I think, Monday, or I guess it was Tuesday after the game, Rick, was, one of those sacks, I think Deshaun Watson saw it. He appeared to audible, but he audibled or moved to a play that was just as long I guess an unfolding play as the one that he got out of. If he did indeed get out of one, he caught it and immediately knew he was in trouble. That's on the quarterback, man. There's certain things early in the game. As Wade Smith said, there was two in the first quarter, and I guess four in the fourth quarter, or late in the third and fourth.
Wasn't it two in the first and four in the fourth?
Yeah, but I think one of those in the fourth, I think, may have been actually at the end of the third. But nonetheless,
okay, gotcha.
Early in the game and late in the game. And so you take a couple of those first couple of sacks and you contribute them to, hey, it's first right out of the box. These guys haven't played together. They haven't ever seen this defensive front. They're not sure what exactly New Orleans is going to throw at them. And that's not an excuse. They've got to be better. Look, there's 100% they've got to be better. There's no doubt about it. Six sacks is too much. Whether you've got the best shot throwing quarterback and the best deep shot taking receiver in the league, that's a lazy man's take, right? I mean, I don't care if you do have those guys. You got to use them effectively. You got to protect your quarterback. Your quarterback has to protect your offensive line. And so those guys have to get significantly better. Like I said yesterday, I'm not concerned, Rick, about what I saw. Last year, you saw guys like just hanging on for dear life in protection. You saw guys that they knew they were beat before the ball was snapped. I think Monday night you saw multiple guys make mistakes across the board throughout four quarters. You saw one guy here, one guy there, one guy here. But I didn't see anybody that was just beat before the ball was snapped, or anybody that was just struggling throughout the game to try to get in the way of a defensive end or a defensive tackle. Again, the performance wasn't up to snuff. It wasn't what the Texans need, but it wasn't anything like what I watched last year from a panic standpoint. They got beat. It's unacceptable, but at no point in time was it panic or chaos up front at the offensive line position.
Right here on Sunday, it goes down. Texans and Jaguars, you're going to hear it here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware on the call, John Harris on the field at noon. Me and Seth Payne with the pregame from 9 to noon. Clint and Sean Pendergast will have the postgame show about 20 minutes after the ball game, and we're here at NRG right now in advance of the Advocare Texas kickoff. Tickets are still available. It's going to be a high-scoring, exhilarating college football game. We encourage you to get involved and not just watch on TV, but come on down here, do some tailgating, have a Coors Light, have a hot dog, and watch some terrific football, man.
Tricky.
Go ahead.
It's Liberty Whiteout. I just saw it on the board presented by BHP. You know what that means, baby. Ooh, them Texans are going to be in all white this weekend.
I like it.
It is a good-looking uni, my brother.
Is this – you know, like the Penn State Nittany Lions up there in Happy Valley, right before kickoff, how everybody has the white pom-poms or the white towels or whatever, and how amazing that looks.
Yeah, it's super cool,
it's just movement everywhere, and it's all white.
Yep.
That's like – and I'm not a Penn State fan, but like that is just one of the things that's college football to me.
Sure.
So is it going to be like that here at NRG?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they're shooting for. We'll see what happens on Sunday. You know, I mean,
everybody get out of your seats, man.
Look, I mean, here's the deal: if you're in Houston and you can't get hyped up for the Texans week 2 after they won the division last year, and with the roster that they're going to put on the field this Sunday, if you can't get excited about your Houston Texans week 2. Then something's wrong. We ain't beating to the same drum, baby.
I do want to play this Titus Howard cut from a day or two ago, talking about how he's being helped by the veteran Laremy Tunsil, even though Laremy's only been here a short time.
Learn how he approached the game every day, learn how he watched film, how he take notes. That was like the biggest thing for me as a rookie, or, you know, seeing how he get ready for the game on Sunday. So sitting beside him in the meetings, just learning how he get ready for the game on Sundays, you know, helped me out a lot. I took a lot of notes from him on that.
Rick, that's the second rookie that I've heard talk, but him and Lonnie Johnson both have talked, and I'm assuming it's unprovoked, but they both have talked about learning from, whether it's Titus Howard talking about Laremy Tunsil or it's Lonnie Johnson talking about J.J., about meetings and learning how to be a professional and learning how to watch film. I mean, those are the things that I absolutely love hearing players talk about, especially guys that you have a lot of stock in. You've invested in these guys. You need these young cats to take it to the next level. And so I love that sound bite right there, along with the Lonnie Johnson one from camp about learning from J.J.
So we're inside NRG Stadium for the Advocare Texas kickoff with the Houston Cougars and Washington State Cougars at 8:15. Tickets are still available. And coming up the top of the hour, we're going to check in with John Lopez. He is live right now with your boy Landry Locker as well. They're at Little Woodrow's in Bel Air. We're going to check in with J-Lo and see what's going on, see what kind of giveaways are going on, and basically just encourage you to either come to NRG and hang out with Clinton Kamla or go to Little Woodrow's Bel Air and hang out with Landry and Lopez, because we got you. We're all about fun here on Sports Radio 610. So we'll do that at the top of the hour. Talk Texans as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.